Colossians chapter 3. It says, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things that are above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. So, Father, I pray in the midst of the pandemic, in the midst of odd moments, pauses, changes, Lord, we would see that You are good, You are trustworthy, You are pure, and there is much to learn in these moments. So, God, we pray right now for the cure of coronavirus. We pray that You would give minds and hearts wisdom of scientists and doctors. God, we pray for doctors and medical personnel for grace, for sleep, for wisdom, for care, for protection, for healing. God, we pray for patients who are struggling, Lord, that they would heal and heal quickly. We pray for our elderly, Lord, that they would be guarded. They would be guarded from the actual virus as well as just guarded from fear. Lord, there would be a trust. There would be a leaning in of Your work and trust of You. God, we pray that we as a country would redefine what we emulate. We would redefine who is a hero. The hero is the lady working at the grocery store, not the professional athlete. God, that the hero is the medical personnel sacrificing, not the movie star. Lord, that there are many around who, by Your grace, as image bearers, are caring for others more than themselves. God, we pray in the midst of many children at home. Lord, I heard this week that there is a rise in domestic abuse. There's a rise in child abuse in our area. Lord, we pray in the power of Jesus that would cease. We pray that ladies would be guarded and protected. Lord, that abusive men would stop and repent and get on their knees and be convicted of sin and receive Your grace. God, we pray that children that are hurt would be guarded. Lord, that You, a God of justice, would enact justice in those areas. God, we pray for our neighbors and we pray for the nations. Lord, that we would be a people that show and shine the light of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That we would be lights of this world. Lights of this world that are leaning into trusting You. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, church family, it is an honor to live stream. It's odd to be in a semi-empty room. And you being in your living room or den or wherever you are. But we are grateful to do this. And I just want to say before I start my message that I want to thank Chad Priest. Chad is the one who has done a ton with this live streaming. Chad's back there adjusting a camera even as we speak. So if you have Chad's number, just shoot him a text and thank you. He's going to get blown up in just a second, which will be fun. But just thank him for all the work that he's doing. He spent hours setting up and tearing down and making this live stream look really good. And so thank you, Chad. Thank you, Tim and Mindy Seeley, for your hard work in all that you're doing with Sunday mornings, as well as caring and meeting needs and matching those needs. Friends, reach out to them if you're aware of needs or areas where you want to serve. And thank you, Robbie. Thank you, Christopher, for leading last week. Appreciate the church family coming together and loving one another. In our world right now, it is hard to avoid eye contact with illness and death. A few weeks ago, I don't think any of us would have imagined what we're going through. Our entire world is experiencing similar things that we are experiencing, some in more horrific ways, some in less. was emailing with a friend from Morocco this week. They're on lockdown. Emailing with a friend in Croatia. They are stuck at home. Kids pulled home, trying to do homeschool and learn and adjust to that. On Marco Polo with our friends and missionaries, Wendy and Mandy and David, and what's going on in Thailand, and similar fear, similar struggle. A friend in Bolivia, heard from him, and they're on lockdown as well. So we have countries all over the world that are in a similar moment in time, making eye contact with illness and death in a way that may have been unusual just a few weeks ago. Many countries, and ours in particular, do not like to make eye contact with suffering and death. But each day's headlines, you can't avoid it. This week, it's like Wednesday, more deaths than have happened in the U.S. Thursday, more deaths. Friday, more. It just keeps growing. And yet we love to distract ourselves, and the temptation is to distract ourselves in this moment. But friends, I think Scripture would encourage us, don't distract yourself. Now, you may not need to look at the news as much as you have been. I've had to get away from some of that too because it can be consuming. But we are not to distract ourselves from what God is doing and how this illness, this pandemic is to be used. Don't waste this pandemic in all the ways God wants to teach you. For illness and death have much to teach us in this moment as God uses things. Please turn to John chapter 11. John chapter 11, as we continue our verse-by-verse study in the Gospel of John entitled That You May Believe. And it just so happens in God's sovereignty that we are studying about illness and death in John chapter 11 in a moment where our culture cannot avoid eye contact with illness and death. God's Word is highly relevant. And let's look at John chapter 11, starting at verse 1. We're going to go to verse 16 today. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, he whom you love is ill. But when Jesus heard it, he said, this illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, let us go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and are you going there again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him. After saying these things, he said to them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him. And the disciples said to him, Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover. Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought he meant taking rest and sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus has died. And for your sake, I am glad that I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him. So Thomas, called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. Let's pray. Father, this is your word, and we want to be under your word. We know your word has authority. So we don't want to be over your word, judging your word, but under your word in submission to your word. Lord, soften our hearts. Lord, me who's in an almost empty room and those who are worshiping you in their living rooms, God, with children around or by themselves, Lord, soften our hearts. Guard my mouth from error. Let us be open to the way your Holy Spirit wants to use this moment. Teach us to trust you. Help us to believe in you all the more. In Jesus' name, amen. Today we find this sermon text highly relevant. I've got a one-point message, and it is this. Jesus looks at illness and death differently than we do. Jesus looks at illness and death differently than we do. In our passage, it tells us this Jesus' friend Lazarus is ill. We're not sure what type of illness this is, but we do find out that he dies from it. Lazarus' sisters, Martha and Mary, send for Jesus. These are devoted ladies. In John chapter 12, we'll see this in a few weeks. It refers to it in this passage. Mary actually anoints Jesus' feet out of love and loyalty. These sisters are followers of Jesus. They know Jesus' love for them and Jesus' love for Lazarus. The one who you love, Jesus, is ill. And there's an urgency. Lazarus is ill. There's an urgency. They're sending for Jesus. However, the urgency of Martha and Mary is not shared by Jesus. Surely Jesus feels the urgency, right? That would be our assumption. Sometimes we would have that same assumption. Surely Jesus feels the same urgency that we feel as we pray or suffer or struggle or know someone who is. Later in the chapter, after Lazarus dies and Jesus is around Mary and Martha, both sisters say this at separate times, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." But Jesus doesn't come. Jesus delays. And this delay teaches us. Oh, church family, there is much we can learn in the words of Jesus that are applicable, obviously, for the main audience that John wrote to, but they, in 2020, feel very, very relevant for today. Jesus delays, and Jesus teaches us that he looks at illness, disease, and suffering, and death differently than we do. Verse 4, when Jesus heard of Lazarus' illness, he said, "This illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." This illness doesn't lead to spiritual death, or even there's a short-term death that's happening. We're not exactly sure all that Jesus meant there. But Jesus already knows Lazarus has died. He says it a few verses later. But we must note the purpose behind Lazarus' illness and death. The purpose behind Lazarus' illness and death is the glory of God. The purpose of Lazarus' illness and death, his rising from the dead, is to shine a light on the light of the world, to shine a light, a bright light on who Jesus is, to glorify the Father and glorify the Son. This is the seventh sign in the Gospel of John, and each sign shows the glory of God. And that word glory is significant. It is important. We must consider glory means weight. Glory means heaviness. It means worthiness. If you glory in money, money is most precious to you. It carries weight in your life. It's important. If you glory in a sports team, you place weight on the importance of that sports team. You see the illness and suffering and death, and then resurrection of Lazarus has weight. It has worthiness to point to the one who raises Lazarus from the dead. There's glory, and Father and Son receive glory as people marvel that Lazarus rises from the dead. Death is unbound. Jesus receives maximum glory. John 1:14 says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." But we must ask, is this concept of God using suffering for His glory seen in other texts of Scripture. Well, we've already seen that in the Gospel of John. We saw in John chapter 9, the disciples see a blind man and they ask Jesus, why was this man born blind? Was it his sin or his parents' sin? And Jesus says, it was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. God uses suffering for His glory and for our good, the works of God being displayed in this.